I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. So I'm back from my month-long vacation away from doing these segments. And where are we? Well, we're smack dab in the middle of a constitutional crisis with a president who's basically saying that the Congress has no authority to investigate him, even though that is one of the underpinnings of our constitutional form of government. Diminishing the power of Congress is one of the first early steps that any potential dictator or authoritarian or tyrant does to try to take control of the country. So there's that. So you wonder, how in the world do dictators and tyrants manage to take authority away from Congress? Well, if they have a Congress that has any authority, oftentimes it's because that Congress lets them. He has a whole lot of his allies there, and they just cede their power to him. That's how it often happens. And that's exactly what the Republicans are doing now, tearing apart our form of government and replacing it with, we're not quite sure what yet, but they certainly aren't paying any attention to the Constitution we have. So, actually, pretty big crisis. But that's only one of the almost endless controversies with this administration. And while they're constantly shocking those of us who have certain norms in our government that we expect, and committing crimes right in front of us, yeah, there's all that, but they always give us tons and tons of stories for this show, which tend to focus around issues of sexuality. We have a president who is probably the most misogynistic president we've ever had, and this includes the presidents we had before women had the vote. And then there's the Republican Party, which also seems to have adopted misogyny as one of their main tenets, and also being anti-sex. But a lot of that's sort of tied in with their misogyny. And so you could say that, you know, keeping women from getting access to abortion or birth control is misogynistic, but it's also, in a way, kind of anti-sex. You don't know where one ends and one begins. So we'll devote a full segment to the horrible things that Trump has been involved in doing towards women and gays, which is a segment we could probably do every single week. But this time, let's just focus, because we've been away for a while, let's just look back on just some random stories of what Republicans around the country have been doing. And we'll talk about the Jerry Falwell thing on Friday's show, where we deal with religious issues. So we're just going to kind of go randomly into the headlines, and if you've ever watched The View, you may be like me. You absolutely loathe Meghan McCain. She is a privileged, not very well-informed young woman who seems to be on television for the sole reason that her father was John McCain, which I don't think really is enough reason to put somebody on television. She's terrible. And from what I'm hearing, the rest of the staff and the producers absolutely loathe her. She's always glad to talk about her daddy and other members of her family, but she never talks about her husband. Because if she did, you'd loathe her even more. And you'd loathe him, but you couldn't loathe him before because you probably had no idea who he was. Since she literally never talks about him, his name is Ben Dominic. And he's founder of the conservative website The Federalist. It's an online right-wing magazine and a podcast, and it's noted for being one of the big defenders of Roy Moore and his dating of teenagers when he was in his 30s, arguing in an article that his behavior was not without some merit if one wants to have a large family. And yeah, you can buy that argument. If you want to have lots and lots of kids, you better start with somebody very, very young so that you'll have enough time. That was basically their argument. Another way to go would be to have multiple wives. That they might make that argument, too. That would not be any less creepy. Damon Linker of The Week describes The Federalist as, quote, a leading disseminator of pro-Trump conspiracies and up-is-down funhouse mirror distortions of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election meddling and potential Trump involvement, end of quote. Anyway, it's a horrible, horrible little rag, and Ben Dominic is a horrible person. But he has one redeeming quality. He came out to defend his wife. She has been attacked a lot lately because she practically puts on a yarmulke, but she isn't Jewish. But she has made a big point about how much she empathizes with the Jewish people and how much she understands them, even though she's not. And she's also gotten criticized most recently for attacking Representative Ilhan Omar, called her dangerous during an interview on NBC's Late Night. But that's just Megan's flat-out and well-known anti-Muslim prejudices. And yeah, I get defending your wife. I love my wife. I will defend her. But I probably wouldn't defend her the same way that Ben defended his wife. Here's what he wrote. I see that Seth Meyers, the untalented piece of shit who only has a job because he regularly gargled Lorne Michaels' balls, went after my wife tonight with his idiotic anti-Semitic bullshit. I guess he's calling Seth Meyers anti-Semitic? Which would be odd that even though Seth Meyers doesn't consider himself Jewish, he is of Jewish heritage. His paternal grandfather was Jewish. So I'm not completely sure what he's saying there, but then he goes, here is proof that white men get ahead despite their obvious lack of talent. I don't, again, know whether he's referring to himself there or not. It's Seth Meyers who would beg for a third of the viewers at The View. He's awful, untalented, and a perfect definition of a cuck. The last thing he said is very telling. Cuck is a word that isn't used normally by normal people. But it is alt-right slang, and it tends to come out of the anti-women's movements, the men's rights movements, although it is a word that is also popular with white nationalists. The only people who really use that term tend to be really, really bad, hateful people. And certainly the homophobia makes sense, because his online site is considered one of the most vicious anti-LGBTQ sites on the internet, and that's saying something. So yeah, he's homophobic, but as is usually the case, I suspect it doesn't stop there. Meghan McCain also doesn't really mention her father-in-law, who is under an ethics investigation for his work with the Trump Interior Department. And I guess there's something good to be said that you're not judged by the person you're married to. Doesn't mean that your partner's views are the same, because they did give Meghan McCain a diversity award from Harvey Milk's nephew. So I guess as a couple, they sort of complete each other. Whatever awfulness one lacks, the other seems to have. Look out, Georgia. Tennessee is trying to out-scandal you. But don't worry, Georgia. No state will ever be more corrupt than you. Their Speaker of the House is not going to step down, he says. He was caught text messaging using the kind of locker room talk that Donald Trump became famous for. You know, it doesn't mean anything. He called Metro police officers who gave him parking tickets rent-a-cop cocksuckers, and there were discussions of soliciting oral sex and naked photos from an intern. You know, locker room talk about sexually harassing other people. Oh, and also in the emails there were comments about black people are idiots, and referring to Tampa Bay quarterback Jameis Winston as a thug, and then the N-word. Oh, and he also framed a black civil rights activist named Justin Jones, framed him to try to get him sent back to jail, but that frame sort of fell apart and didn't happen. But we did find out about it. But don't worry, fans of House Speaker Glenn Cassata, because he plans on sticking in there and coming up with even grander forms of sexism and racism. I cannot understand for the life of me why Jacob Wool is not in prison along with his ally Jack Berkman. They have repeatedly gone after people to try to frame them for crimes, their political opponents as the people they're trying to frame. They attempted to frame Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller, and they didn't get away with it. They were caught out, but they're back at it again. How is this even remotely legal? They put up a post from a man named Hunter Kelly, who claimed that presidential candidate and Mayor Pete Buttigieg tried to sexually assault him. Now, it wasn't a lot of information in the post, but as it turns out, Hunter Kelly never actually posted it. They didn't have his permission to do that. He said, I went to bed and woke up to a fake Twitter and an article that I'm in no way endorsed or wrote. He then claimed that the two men offered him a house in exchange for claiming that he was sexually assaulted by Buttigieg. Now, Wall was banned from Twitter because he uses fake accounts to manipulate people. He is as awful a human being as you could hope to find, but I guess this is what is what counts as a political operative into Trump's America?